Then comes the next important crisis. It is that of the gradual failing of powers. In primitive societies and early Oriental societies, archaic societies, this comes earlier than it does for us here with our highly developed medical profession. But in many societies, it's astonishing how early this old age situation begins to move in. At any rate, no matter when it comes, it comes. And the individual has to face the problem of losing that capacity, which was his pride, and preparing himself to move through the dark gate. And so that there won't be a backup and a pathological breakdown at this point, the images now have to induce the psyche through that gate, and mother and daddy and all are placed over there. We're going into the tomb and the womb and all this business. Mother and daddy are here in a new way. The images which have to serve to bring the youth to the frightening activity of full responsibility now must be used to bring the declining years to the frightening inactivity of death. And it is this problem that Jung is most interested in, and I will bring his views in toward the end of our discussion in relation to some of this matter in other societies. Now, to give in very summary form the thoughts of Freud in this matter, so that we'll have a basis for the discussion of individual and society in a later context. First, the Freud psychology is based on an elementary nuclear stress idea, namely that there is a will, a desire, an I want that is inherent in the psyche. The psyche is a little I want machine. And the society or environment or the household itself or the incapacity of the child's body presents prohibitions. This is the fundamental nuclear thesis here. Next is that a child cannot sustain the tension of wanting without resolution. And the prohibition that is absolute, the thing that the child cannot have, just like that all the time, is pressed down into the unconscious, as Freud says. A good parent, when it doesn't want his child to think about this, gives it something else to think about. Well, that thing it wanted first stays there, nevertheless, in the psyche as a wish. The critical factor is that when the wish goes into the unconscious, the prohibition goes too. So that in the unconscious, there is a dynamic energy unit that is both a positive and a negative. This Freud calls the ambivalence. It is in the psyche. This business of suppressing your wish and suppressing along with it a social prohibition is called introjection. One introjects a little chunk of the social order by that process. This is then what is called conscience. There is a built-in no that is socially and not naturally governed. This built-in no is different in this society from in that. Consequently, this, which the religious people call conscience, is a built-in social structure functionally related to the moral system of the order in which the child is born. Now, this lies in the psyche as an energy unit, and what is an energy unit in the psyche has to be projected or expelled. There have to be moments of discharge. This discharge takes place on the unconscious level. That is to say, instead of wishing, as the child does, for mother, it finds a substitute wish. And what in consciousness is thought to be a perfectly moral activity, in unconsciousness serves a completely immoral function. That is to say, under the table, so to say, you are enjoying an experience which is forbidden by the society, and you are forbidding yourself even to know that you are enjoying it. This is the basis for the Freudian idea of neurosis. When an individual is full of anxieties, full of fears, in a situation that is not fearful, these are not real anxieties. They are imagined anxieties. They are imagined punishments from invisible parental disciplinarians for enjoyments that are being secretly enjoyed.